Hey, can we give a wonderful thank you to our worship team, please? Amen. Man, it's so good. Really so good. Man, just close your eyes just for a minute. I was just thinking as we were worshiping and speaking about reckless love, and you know, it's kind of a crazy title, really. But when you understand the depth of the love of God and the love of Christ for us, that he would put himself on a cross for you and I, that which was perfect for that which was filthy, that which was innocent for that which was stained, it's just amazing. It's amazing. But I'm reminded, even in that, singing that, just there's specific moments of our lives, I think, that you're overwhelmed by the love of God. And for me personally, it's been those moments that maybe you're at your lowest. Maybe there's just been something that has taken place that's out of your control, maybe a tragedy, or maybe it was completely in your control and you blew it. But it's sometimes in those moments that you're just overrun by his love. Church, what happens when you have this deep understanding that he loves me, and there's nothing I can do about it? He loves me. I just want you to just think for a minute, I'm maybe going back to those moments where you have just, it's a football term, you've been trucked by his love, where it just runs you down and it runs you over and you are overwhelmed by his love. And that's not all the time, but there are just moments when his love just pursues us and it overwhelms us. And those are amazing moments to hold on to. And I remember several of them in my life where it was just in a desperate place of need. And the love of God just runs you over. That's an amazing reminder. It says, I will never leave you, Sean, and I will never forsake you. For you are mine. Church, please hear this today. If you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, you've repented from sin and you believed in him, he is very clear on this. It says, you are mine. You belong to me now. I've adopted you. I've brought you in. And I want us to walk in comfort today, and I want us to be comforted from the fact and the truth that we belong to him and we are his. Maybe there's moments that we are just overwhelmed by his love. What a beautiful place that is. What a beautiful place that is to be reminded again today that he loves me. He loves me. Lord, we want to love you back, and we're thankful for moments like these. We thank you for your amazing love for us, your kindness, your grace, your compassion. Unearned and undeserved. I thank you that heaven is before us and the grave is behind us. We have our hope of that which lays ahead, that is heaven, because death lays behind, which is no more. And in that, let us rejoice this morning and be glad. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Your word is alive and powerful, and I pray that it would speak to us this morning. Speak to us this morning. God, give us a word today, that we might hear from you. Let your word come alive to us today in its power and its might. Let it speak to the depth of our soul and to the depth of our hearts, God. Speak to us today. Man, church, just ask God in your spirit, say, God, speak to me today. God, speak to me today. And I will respond in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Man, come on. Turn with me, please, to John 14. We were going to go to 1 Corinthians 12 and we will get there, but I want to speak John 14, but I want to read something first. This is a book called Jesus Freaks. It's an older book. It's got stories of saints that have been persecuted throughout history. And man, I picked it up and started reading it again. And man, there's just story after story that it kind of wrecks your spirit a little bit. To know that they're, to be reminded again, and we're called to pray for the persecuted, and we do, but to be reminded again that these are real stories of men, women, and children. When they made the decision for Jesus Christ, they meant it. Life or death, they meant it. And I'll be reading from this probably for the next few weeks. And just, here's a great story. I just want you to hear this because I want it to spark something in our spirit when it comes to real persecution. I want it to spark something in our spirit that we don't become the warm and fuzzy believers that just think, well, if I get a toenail, Jesus don't love me. Or man, if I actually mention the name of Christ, we shy back and we shrink back because it might offend somebody. No, there's very real truth to those who confess Christ as Lord and Savior. There's going to be some hits. And where is our love for the word? This one struck me. I've done skits off of this one. And it rekindled something in me in a sense of how much do I love his word? Do I know the value of that which lays on our coffee table, the value that is by our bedside, the value of what the word has? Do we understand that it's God's word for us? It's amazing. It is without error. It is perfect. It is God on page. And do we value the Bible? Because we are a Bible-saturated country. Bibles everywhere. Bibles in Walmart. Bibles that galore. How many Bibles do you have in your own home? Like, we love to give out Bibles. We want people to have a Bible. If you don't have one, we will love to give you one. We believe and love the Bible, but it just, sometimes it can be Bible all the time and everywhere that it's never actually read. It's everywhere in your house. 5 copies in your house somewhere in every room. But we don't dive into it, right? And this sparks something in me, and I love this. I just want to read this. And this is entitled Her Last Prayer. And it's a girl, 16. Oh, gosh, I got to get through this. I haven't even got to the part yet. 16 or 17 years old in Asia in the 70s. The communist soldiers had discovered their illegal Bible study. And as the pastor was reading from the Bible, men and guns suddenly broke into the home, terrorizing the believers who had gathered there to worship. The communists shouted insults, threatened to kill the Christians. The leading officer pointed his gun at the pastor's head and said, "Hand me your Bible," he demanded. Reluctantly, the pastor handed over his Bible, his prized possession. Wow. With a sneer on his face, the guard threw the word of God on the floor at his feet. He glared at the small congregation, said, "We will let you go," he growled. "But first, you must spit on the book of lies. Anyone who refuses will be shot." And the believers had no choice but to obey the officer's order. The soldiers pointed his gun at one of the men, says, "You first." The man slowly got up, knelt down by the Bible. Reluctantly, he spit on it, praying, "Father, please forgive me." He stood up and walked out the door. The soldiers then said, "Okay, you're next." The soldier said, nudging a woman forward in tears. She could barely do what the soldiers demanded, but she spit only a little, but it was enough. She too was allowed to leave. Quietly, a young girl came forward. Overcome with love for her Lord, she knelt down and picked up the Bible. She wiped off the spit with her dress. "What have they done to your word? Please forgive them," she prayed. The communist soldier put the pistol to her head and then pulled the trigger. Church, where is our love for that which is in our hand? Like, where is our stance for truth? We are called to be fearless, and we are called to be bold. And there's so many great stories you'll be hearing from me on Sundays. I'll just read one at a time, and just an amazing reminder of what it is to have Christ within. that we have made a decision that is life-changing. We sung it today, and I hope that we just don't sing love songs to God with no depth. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This life I now live in the faith. Come on, I live for him who gave his life and died for me. Like, what happens, church, when we get absent from this body is to be home with the Lord. And we get so upset and our lollipops and gumdrops that someone might just get offended. Church, where is our stance on the word of God? That we declare that, yes, I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, and I believe this book is absolutely true, and I believe that if you call on the name of Christ, you shall be saved. But there is the absolute truth that when I come to him truly on his terms. I come to him as I am, but I cannot stay as I am. There has to be change, and there has to be surrender. Church, I love this. Man, that just rekindled something in me. And I'm just like, I'm going to start reading from this book. It's just a great reminder of, church, we've got to begin to see it. Like, America is not the America that we once knew as a Christian nation, that it was just easy peasy to be a Christian. That's changing. And I want to make sure that this church is ready for that. I want to make sure that we are absolutely blood-bought, born-again believers in Jesus Christ to say, the reality is there's persecution, and I get that, and I want to be the example. I would love that 16-year-old girl. Could you imagine the welcoming home that she got from her Lord? We want that courage. But you think that didn't just come just then? That was because she was in the Word and she loved the Word and she loved her Lord more than anything else. She loved her. She had more of a love for the Lord than she could care about the gun that was pointed at her head as she picks up the Bible and wipes it off with her dress. Oh, Lord, what have they done to your Word? Church, I need us to love his Word. I need us to understand the reality of being bold and courageous. Knowing that when we speak Jesus and when we hold the line to the Word of God, that is going to offend. Man, I want to build a church of soldiers and warriors, men, women, and child, that understand what it is to be so excited and to be so blessed when they insult you and persecute you because of his name. Church, that day is coming. And we need to be ready for that. And we need to be okay with that. And we need to hold our line to the truth of God's word and understand what true blessing looks like. It is not the accolades of man. It is not worrying about offending man. It is to hold truth, to say Jesus Christ is my Savior and he is my Lord. And it's no longer about this life that I live. It's now about him. How much do we love his word? How much do we love his word? And are you willing to take a stand? We have always preached this. I love our kids. I want these teenagers, these young adults to my left, on your right side, I want them to be able to be 16 and 17-year-old and show up the adults who would possibly spit on a Bible, that one of you would wipe it off with your clothing, looking at a gun down your throat and understanding what that looks like, because you have such a depth of love for Christ. We are called to be bold. Now I get to preach. Are you ready?
Amen.
Woo! Welcome to Believer's Chapel. If you're new to BC, love Jesus. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Good time for a drink. Mm-hmm. Go Steelers. That's the transition. Anytime it starts getting, there's always that transition when you go, like, it's just all you got to do is say go Steelers. And that's a great transition. Come on. Look at this. I love it. John 14. Today we're going to start a new series on spiritual gifts. We get to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, that third party that no one likes to talk about. Like, I love it where the Holy Spirit, when you mention the Holy Spirit, people are like, there's like silence. like the distant cousin that nobody wants to talk about, right? That's, unfortunately, that is God who is spirit, yet still God in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is God, but yet he's treated in church at times like the distant cousin, right? Nobody wants to talk about the Holy Spirit. Listen, I am pumped to talk about the Holy Spirit. I am juiced about this new series on spiritual gifts and to see what the spiritual gifts actually do for you and I to build the body. And we're going to get into this. We're going to spend several weeks on this. We're going to identify gifts. You're going to begin to identify your own spiritual gift. Every person has spiritual gifts. Not every person has all, but everybody has some spiritual gift given by God through his spirit for you and I to exercise within the church to build up the body. So first, we just got to look at a couple quick places in John 14 where Jesus starts speaking about the Holy Spirit that he says, I'm gone, he's coming, and you're better off. I don't know how the disciples took that, but here they knew Jesus, they knew his power, they knew his authority, they understood who he was, and Jesus said, listen, I'm going, another's coming, and you're better off. And that still sticks for us today. Look at this, John 14, please. I just want to say this, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you that while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, Helper here means comforter, one who comes alongside to help. One who comes alongside to help, that your version may say the comforter, right? One who comes alongside to help, and in that it brings comfort. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. By the way, that's the Trinity. We don't have to go too deep in that, but that is the Trinity. In one verse, you've got the Spirit, you've got Jesus, and you've got the Father. All God, yet three, but yet God. Separate functions, separate roles, all equal value, all equal worth, all equal in existence and eternity. So we've got to get that and nail that down, and it's in one verse. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, there's the Father, who will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all that I said to you. In one verse, 26, you've got the Trinity. Okay, here we go. Watch this, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Now listen, when you understand the Holy Spirit has come as a comforter, and in that there is peace. And we're gonna talk about the spiritual gifts, but don't confuse that with the spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit. Or you find that in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the Holy Spirit fruit. That's not the Holy Spirit gifts. They're different. But when you see that we are promised the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit. So look at, turn to verse 16. Or I'm sorry, chapter 16. Chapter 16. Verse 6 says this. I'm just doing a pregame here. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. He's talking about him leaving, right? He talks about him leaving. Verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, that's the Holy Spirit, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, concerning righteousness because I go to the Father, you no longer will see me, concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. I love that, has been judged. We got to understand God always is on top. The enemy is at his footstool. So let's see this again. Again, Jesus Christ speaks in language to say, I'm out. The Holy Spirit is coming, an absolute promise, right? We don't have time to get into Acts 2 right now. We will eventually. Acts 2 is when that promise is fulfilled. The Holy Spirit comes to them at Pentecost, and we see some amazing action in Acts. And I love it because when you mention spiritual gifts, there's one gift that seems to float all the way to the top to everyone's mind. Is he going to talk about tongues? Yes. Not today, but yes, we will speak about spiritual language. We will look in a deep dive on what that really looks like. What is a spiritual language? Our tongues for today. And listen, there's different views on that. We will cover that in time. okay? We will cover that in time. And yes, we will look at the book of Acts, and we will look at those who laid hands on, and then they were what they would say, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they spoke with other tongues. We'll do a deep dive in that, and we'll look at that and answer the question, is that for today? What does it mean? What's it mean to exercise that gift of tongues? I will lay my hand out there early, show you my cards. Yes, I do believe it's for today, but it will have to be in an absolute place of balance. And as you have been in Believer's Chapel anytime long, we don't exercise that in our public meetings because people think you're crazy. I have been in meetings of church that I was associate pastor of. I thought they were crazy. And that's why we're no longer a part of that. Church, you got to know my background. It's simple. I came up legalistic Baptist, and then you go to non-denominational Baptist, which means they changed their name to be cool and relevant, but they were still Baptist. And then I went into a charismatic church coming out of college, went to dad, mom owned the Christian bookstore. I'm like, hey, give me some love, man. I can't go back to there. That just didn't do anything for me. Give me a church that has life. So dad sends me to a charismatic church that had life. I walked in, thought they were crazy. I'm like, man, they're raising their hands. They've got instruments. They're loud. They're worshiping Jesus like they love Jesus. What is happening right now? I'm not used to that, right? And that's where I really learned the truth of praise and worship, and I'm so grateful for that. And started getting taught on a charismatic level. Sean, are you charismatic? I said, no, I'm more Baptist-costal. I'm like, yes, I love the Baptist, but we swing a little bit, just a little bit to the other side, but not crazy-like. Because then the pastor that I felt was very balanced in that, some things that I didn't really understand, but the teaching was amazing. Renee and I were in a great place. We're growing in our faith. God was using us in unbelievable ways. We're so grateful. So, you know, you take the good and you take the bad and you say, okay, because please hear me, no church is perfect. And this is one of those kind of open-handed conversations. There's the side that is the cessationist, and that means that certain spiritual gifts have ceased. I am not in that camp. But then the one pastor left, and then another pastor took over and just took it to Fruit Loop land, man. It was just crazy. No, crazy. And I would equate it even to more of a dark side. And I'm just like, what is, and Renee is super, got a great gift of discernment, and she's like, this is, we are out, man, we're gone. And me, I'm the associate pastor of the church at the time. It's crazy. But anyways, so I'm just telling you my background of being one to the far side that is legalistic, and the other that, and I might be able to get into some things in the future messages of things that I saw that was just like, what are you doing? Like when you see in scripture where someone walks in and thinks you're mad, yeah, I think you're mad, and I'm a pastor here. I think you're great. Well, what is going on right now? So you have a pastor that is, I hope to be very balanced, and I hope to have been grounded on both sides. So we're not just shooting from the hip here, trying to hit something. And you've heard me say it many, many times over, my opinion doesn't matter. Let's just see what the Bible says. And one of the things that the pastor who was very healthy and balanced would say, Sean, sometimes you have to unlearn what you've been taught when it's biblically inaccurate. Sometimes you have to unlearn, and what a process that is, to unlearn what you've been taught when you simply ask the question, well, where is that in the Bible? Why, I've always been taught that. That's not the right answer. Right? So let's look at this. And let's understand that the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, the Holy Spirit who was sent by God, he fills us and he abides in us. And we're going to get into a lot of things in the spiritual gifts. Because when you look at tongues and interpretation of tongues, you have to begin to dive into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, I am one who is more balanced on what I would say a biblical side, or and we'll get into this more on the Baptist side, where I really believe that when you come to a place to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you've surrendered your life to him, The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 that at that point, then you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. You've never seen us start praying over people. If anybody falls over or starts barking like a dog, we're going to call 911 and think you need some mental help. No, I'm serious. We're not walking here at Believer's Chapel in crazy land where we're not going to be thinking it's okay to just do whatever you want to and tag the Holy Spirit on it. That's what I've seen. Do whatever you want to. As long as you say Holy Spirit, you can do whatever you want. Baloney. Not in this house. You want to do things that are out of control? Well, we will control it quickly with our ushers and we'll call a mental institution and we'll go from there. I'm serious, because when you start speaking on the Holy Spirit, people get loopy, and we can't have that. We're trying to win a region, and if people walk in this place and think we're crazy, you just lost your shot. We're never going to do that. Haven't done that. If you've been here long, you know we're balanced, right? We will go over the four places, and there's four. There's actually three in Acts that they actually consider what baptism in the Holy Spirit looks like. Again, I've spent a lot of time on that, and I want to get on that in another message. We're going to be in this for a little while, I think. Is this okay? Do you like this? I mean, you want to really learn about the Holy Spirit and just get into this and understand our gifts and understand the power of the Holy Spirit? I believe God Almighty can do all things. I don't believe healing is ended. We want to pray for people. We want to anoint people with oil. I want to see God. Oh, I want to see God do a work. I want to see this COVID thing gone in Jesus' name. It never affects another person. This is what I want. I want to be able to pray over people to see them be healed. I want to see God do great miracles and great work. Why would we think that that's no more today? But we're going to do it in order, because God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of order. And I believe, and I have a quote. If you could put the quote up there. Because I think we're going to remember this quote through this whole series, because people get real crazy when you're talking about the Holy Spirit. You need more of the Holy Spirit. You need more of the Holy Spirit. What, I have 50%? Like, what are you talking about? No, I'm talking about in power and authority. You need more of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't really find that in Scripture, but I do find this, that it's never how much of the Holy Spirit do you have. It's always how much does the Holy Spirit have of you. Our life is a life of surrender. That is our life. When it comes to you wanting to see God by His Holy Spirit move in a powerful, powerful way, it's not you need more of Him. Guess what? Guess what? He needs more of you. Please, we've got to understand this. We've got to get this right off the bat. When you start talking about spiritual gifts, then we can start being self-centered and say, I want this one or I want that one. I think this one puts me at the top. And guess what? Please hear me. We're going to go over this. You don't get a choice. The Holy Spirit gives as He wills. And again, Sean, do you think tongues are for today? Yes, I do. And if you have a spiritual language, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think that's amazing. But I do believe that in any type of public setting, there has to be tongues with interpretation. We don't really roll there, because then I say you need to have it checked by two or three elders to see if it was even accurate. Like, there's so much to that that it can just get out of whack, and we just can't have that in a public service. And we'll touch on that another time. But today is just kind of the setup. Today is just kind of the pregame to where we're headed, because we need to be informed in this. And I want you to see this. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12, please. 1 Corinthians 12. And I love getting into this, because I want to see God do great work in us and have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. To have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, you can find anything you want online. You can watch services. And when people are moving in the Spirit, it just turns crazy. And then I don't want to miss what the Holy Spirit would have based off of a false understanding of crazy. Here for this church and for us as individuals. And we need to be very careful on this. Again, this is one of those issues in regards to People who absolutely love Jesus will give high five when they say, well, I think 1 Corinthians 13 says this, and I don't really see there's the exercise of certain gifts. High five, we love Jesus. This is one of them open fist things, but I'm just speaking to where we're at as Believers Chapel. And again, it is very much open-handed where we could have great conversation. Absolutely everybody loved Jesus. We're all going to go to heaven, and then we're going to go from there. But I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, Paul writes this, and I want you to see this, because now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be ignorant. Which tells us what? When Paul writes 1 Corinthians, and it's a corrective letter, because the Corinthian church was a train wreck, legit, they were a mess. They were a mess from top to bottom. The Corinthian church was a mess. He says, listen, the spiritual gifts are kind of, I need you to be informed, because how you're handling spiritual gifts, you're uninformed. I need us to be informed on what spiritual gifts truly are. Watch this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. For you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. That's amazing. You're led astray by that which can't speak. That's amazing. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Which, please hear this. You need the Holy Spirit to be saved. Romans 8, very clear, 8, 9, and 10. You need the Holy Spirit to be saved. So this idea of you need more of the Holy Spirit. No, I needed the Holy Spirit actually to get saved. And when I came to Christ, the Bible says that he abides and dwells in me. It doesn't say that he abides and dwells in me in little pieces or 50% until I go back and ask for the other 50%. We have to understand that's speaking in, please hear me. When you look at Ephesians says this, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled is clutch here. It's talking about being kept filled. I need to walk out in the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. Church, you could come in here and walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and you're walking in love and joy and peace, and the fruit is evident. You could go in the parking lot and you're flipping people off. All of a sudden, we're not functioning in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Nobody here would do that, I'm sure. But you understand, it's that conscious mind of being kept filled, walking in the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. Again, bottom line to this whole series is it's about how much he has of me. It's about me waking up in the morning and say, God, by your Spirit, I need to walk in the fullness of your Spirit today. That would exercise the gifts that you've given me today. Come on, I want to get into this. I got just a couple minutes here, a few minutes. We got some time. Verse 4 says this. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. Watch this, verse 7, for the common good. Today we're laying a foundation of why spiritual gifts. Why spiritual gifts? And where do spiritual gifts come from? Because I'm going to crush something today for us praying for specific gifts. If it's a true spiritual gift, it wasn't by your requesting. It was by his giving. And I want to lay this thick today, because we've got to have an understanding of this to say, okay, let's lay the foundation of spiritual gifts before we actually get into the different spiritual gifts. There's you can break it down in two groups. 1 Peter 4 does this. If you have 1 Peter 4, I want you to see this, because it simply breaks it down into two groups. Gifts that speak, gifts that serve. And then there's another group, the sign gifts, that they can go under these gifts such as healing and gifts such as tongues. But you look at this, whoever speaks, is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking the utterance of God. That's speaking gifts. We'll talk about those. And then those who serve is to do as though one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, that's serving gifts, so that, here's the whole purpose, for what reason, watch this, so that, anytime you see a so that, we're parenthesizing, we're circling, we're making that pop off the page, so that why? Why is it so important of the speaking gifts and the serving gifts? So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So you begin to see there's really two classifications, then you do have the sign gifts that will be in a part of these somewhere, and we see this. I want you to see it, right? So we're laying a foundation of every one of us have the Holy Spirit, and every one of us have gifts from the Holy Spirit, right? I want you to see this again. First Corinthians 12. Verse 7 says this, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For each one. Church, if you understand who Christ is and you've come to repent, come to believe, come to surrender, and you know that I am born again, then he has given you spiritual gifts. For what reason? For the common good. Come on, flip quickly over to 1 Corinthians 14, please. First Corinthians 14, verse 26. And if any one member, First Corinthians 14, 26. It says this. In 1 Corinthians, we're going to be in Romans 12. You can read ahead. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. These are the places that we're going to be. We're going to park in these three areas for the next few weeks. So you could Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to kind of park the bus in these places for a few weeks. Verse 26 says this. For what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, has a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done. Speaking of spiritual gifts, let all things be done for the edification of the church. Let all things be done for the edification. It's speaking of the body. This is taking place within the body. All things be done for the building up of the church. We have spiritual gifts, not for self-centered motive, but to do what? To build up the body. To do what? Build up the church, to encourage the church. Right back to 1 Corinthians 12, please. First Corinthians 12, verse 11. And then again, this is after he speaks of the gifts. We'll get into the gifts next week. Verse 11 says this. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as, watch this, as he wills. As he wills. Yeah, but I really want this gift. Yeah, but I see that this gift, I want this gift. No, look, we've got to break this thing down biblically. It says this again. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually who God's Spirit distributes each one. That's us personally. I love where gifts are personal. Each one individually as he wills. Look at verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as he desires. And this is speaking on spiritual gifts. Now, I want to back it up just a little bit. Let's look at verse 14. Then look at verse 14. Now the body is not one member, but many. So we're seeing the foundation for this series is we all have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives gifts as he wills and as he desires. And the purpose of these gifts are to build up one another, to build the church, brought forth for encouragement. But there's something so important where he speaks of the individual and he speaks of the importance of all of us together as one. Don't miss this. I love it because this is right in the middle of spiritual gifts. He puts the importance of the unity of the body, yet we're all different. We're all different. And he brings it out in a way of speaking of an actual body. Watch what he says here, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. Is it not for this reason, any of the less parts of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. Is it not for this reason, any of the less part of the body? I love what he says. You might be a foot, you might be a hand, not one is better than the next. Please hear this. This is huge. Listen, when you understand Genesis 1 and the creation of male and female, equal value, equal worth, watch this, different roles. Made in the image of God, equal value, equal worth. It is a train wreck when someone says, well, man is made here and female is made here. No. Equal value, equal worth. Watch this. This is huge. This is where we've missed it. Different roles. And I love where he's talking about spiritual gifts. Listen, look at, he's speaking of the unity of the body here. Yeah, but I'm only a foot. I want to be a hand. But why? Because the hand and the foot have equal value, equal worth, different roles. Right? We this is what he's speaking of. This is the importance of why spiritual gifts are so important. Why one gift, if the Holy Spirit has given you a gift, and yet to your neighbor or your husband or your wife or even your teenagers have spiritual gifts. This is not for adults. If you've come to know Christ, you have a spiritual gift. It's not looking at someone else's gift and then allowing sin to come in of jealousy or envy. This is so important. This is so important to building this foundation today as where we're going for the next few weeks to understand. Just because one person has a gift that maybe looks like this high-end gift or whatever that would look like, don't allow envy to come in because the hand and the foot both need it to build the body. Again, what's the purpose of the gifts? To build the body. And if the ear, verse 16, says, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body. It is not for this reason that any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, watch this, each one of them in the body just as he desired. But if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but yet one body. Church, we are made up of a lot of people. And we all have different gifts, but all have the same purpose of the gifts, and that is to build up the body. You know, in laying the foundation this morning, I want us to begin to think, God, what is my spiritual gift? And do some homework, man. Read, go in and read Romans 12. Read 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 14. 14 is kind of more of a, it's not a list of gift. It's more of how how the church is supposed to function in particular gifts. And then start asking, God, how do I use this in the body? Because it's not just for me. How do I use this? How do we use this for the body? Because, you know, when we understand spiritual gifts, you know what that's going to do to us as a church and as a body? When you identify your gift and you see, okay, I'm supposed to use this within the body, how am I using this in the body? Because I want us to become even greater in how we function as a body. I want us to walk into church. Yes, we want to walk in and worship the Lord, and we want to hear a message. We want to take God, speak to me today. That's amazing. But I can't have it end there. Because that makes us what? Takers. And we are here to receive. God, when I read the word, I want to receive. God, speak to me. But then how do I turn that and use it for your good? How do I use that for your glory? How do I use that to glorify Christ? It's got to be an in and out. It's got to be, God, I'm receiving, but then it's my time to give, because these gifts that you've given me are used for the body, for the edification of the body. We've got to understand that. Church, we want to come to church hungry. I want you to be hungry for Christ. I want you to come to church hungry, hungry to worship as a family, hungry to worship for the word, and I mean to hear the word, to starve for the word, get into the word, love the word, and then say, okay, what do I do with it? And we really understand what it means to serve one another. Come on. I got a minute. And again, we're laying a foundation for this, and I just want you to see this. Romans 12, real quick, please. See, right with the spiritual gifts, I want you to see it. He says it again in Romans 12. I love verse 3, because you can see how some people function in their spiritual gift, and they're just really arrogant about it. And Romans 12 has a lot of depth to it right off the bat, but we're not going to. It talks about do not be conformed to this world, be transformed, the renewing of your mind. We know that. And then verse 3 says this: for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Have you ever met people that they brag on their spiritual gifts, and they function like they're the only one on the planet that has that gift? But yet in their bragging, you're examining and you're like, I don't think I see any fruit today. And Proverbs has a great proverb. You are a cloud with no rain. One of my favorites. You can use that often. Bro, you are a cloud with no rain. You look good, but you are empty. Let's not be that. Because this is one of those topics of spiritual gifts that can get real loosey-goosey quick, and we've got to keep it in check. Right? We got to be careful. And we can't think too highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And I love when you keep this in context, look where it goes with this. Verse 4. For just as we have many members, watch this, in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. Sounds like 1 Corinthians 12, spiritual gifts. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Wow, there's so much here. We who are many, but yet one body, but yet still individuals. We who are many, there's a lot of us, but yet we all function in one body that is Christ, but yet we still maintain our individuality. Like, I love this picture that there's a bunch of us, but yet we're one focus because we're one body in Christ, but yet we maintain our individuality. Like, different gifts and different functions as he wills and as he desires to build up the church, to build up the function of the church as one body, but don't think too highly of yourself that you ought to think. Keep it in balance. Look at verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And it gets into the gifts. If prophesy according to the propitions of his faith, and he talks about service, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy gift, and then we're going to get into, I think the greatest gift is just to love. Amazing, he puts, you got Romans 12, and then he goes Romans, 1 Corinthians 12, and then it just seems like there's a break. 1 Corinthians 12 and then 1 Corinthians 14. I'm reading it. I'm thinking, man, 1 Corinthians 14 should have been 1 Corinthians 13. And then maybe 1 Corinthians 13 could have been 1 Corinthians 14. You know, the first book of Sean, which is a terrible book, by the way. I'm like, man, that just seems like that should have been flip-flop. Like, but no, of course, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is like, no, right in the middle of it all, right in the middle of it all, right in the middle of it all is love, which is the greatest gift. Which is the greatest gift. So church, I will try to unpack this in a very clear way over the next few weeks. So the Believer's Chapel, it doesn't get confused, so that you have an understanding of your spiritual gift, how to use it, and be pumped about it, to be excited about it. And what I think this will do for this church is it will edify this church and it will edify this body. So today is laying a foundation that every single person of us have the Holy Spirit. And I'm one who believes you didn't get 50% when you got saved. I believe there are times that we're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we need to. I believe the Holy Spirit of God dwells and remains and abides within each one of us if you have come to know him as Lord and Savior. And in that, he's given us spiritual gifts by his will and by his desire for his purpose, that each one of us is necessary. Please hear me in this. This is where we close. Every single person of Believer's Chapel is necessary. You are necessary in your spiritual gift. If everybody is a foot, then the hand is not necessary. This is not how we function. We have a bunch of people in this church. Many members, we are one body, yet we maintain our individuality for the gifts used to build up the body. We need all spiritual gifts functioning in a way in this church to build up this body so that we can do what God has called us to do as a church and win this region. Are you with me? Come on, we'll unpack this. If we could just stand to our feet, please. Come on, we're going to finish with a song. And if anybody needs prayer for any reason, please come up and see us right up front. We'd love to pray with you. Come on, be strong in your faith, people. Be strong in your faith. Come on.